The American Heart Association wrapped up a big meeting in Chicago last week. One of the attendees was James Rybacki, a doctor of pharmacology. He's the author of The Essential Guide to Prescription Drugs. He's also the editor of the website, EssentialGuideToPrescriptionDrugs.com. Before talking with him about a couple of the meeting's key events, I asked him about heart disease in the U.S. He told me more than 81 million Americans have some form of heart disease, and 101 million of us have levels of total cholesterol that put us at risk. The biggest story to come out of the American Heart Association meeting was about a promising new drug to manage cholesterol. A clinical study of the drug shows that it lowers LDL cholesterol, bad cholesterol, and raises good cholesterol, HDL.
I would rarely say true breakthrough, but in this case, I'm going to say true breakthrough, although it's still experimental. The AHA was really, really evil and mean, and I say that in a most benevolent sense, but made everyone wait until Wednesday, and they always have late-breaking scientific sessions on every particular day of the meeting, and they held the DEFINE trial until the end. That was actually determining the efficacy and tolerability of CETP inhibition with anacetrapib. Whew, what a mouthful. But what it means is nothing short of remarkable benefits. The target right now is bad cholesterol, LDL, and we all know about the Crestors and Lipitors and all of the statin-type medicines that try to lower that bad cholesterol. This drug, and some of us may remember a drug called torcetrabib a few years ago, which actually increased HDL, the good stuff, but it appeared to increase risk. This one was remarkable in this early experimental sort of defining what's going to happen trial. And this one actually decreased LDL from about 81 down to 45. Remarkable decrease, and increased HDL, the good stuff, from about 41 up to 101. And the other key component of this, but there was little or no difference from placebo. So it appears to be safe. It appears to be remarkably effective. And this combination, possibly in combination with the existing statins, may actually cause regression and reversal of some existing artery clogging. Absolutely amazing. Need some more research. Big studies underway now. But this is absolutely fascinating.
Yeah. Well, the article that I read in the newspaper made a point of saying more testing is needed. So two questions. How large has the study of the drug been so far, and how will further tests be conducted?
Exactly. So this looks at or looked at about 1,500 patients. And in that sense, what nerdy people like me would say is, well, that really wasn't powered to look at really broad and far-reaching results. But there are some pretty sick patients in it. And I think the interesting point now is that probably underway immediately is a very, very large trial at Oxford. This will be by Dr. Collinger. And this, probably the five or six times at least the numbers of patients, will then define what are the sort of clinical endpoints and then what kind of true benefits do we get over a longer period of time.
When might it come to market then?
Oh, that would probably be a $5 billion question. looking at this, I would expect that at least 2 years for some more clinical trials. I would expect that the FDA would fast track it, say this is a completely new family of medicines, and to just get a little bit complicated, it's a cholesterol ester transfer protein inhibitor, which is where CETP comes from. I actually posted some more information on essentialguidetoprescriptiondrugs.com, trying to define some of those terms because they can be very confusing. So I think we're probably maybe 3 years away from this actually being available for patients, possibly sooner, and certainly in clinical trials. All of our listeners can see more on the upcoming clinical trials and also past ones at www.clinicaltrials.gov. Very balanced and objective.
Another interesting story to come out of Chicago involved an experimental radio wave treatment for high blood pressure. What's the story there?
Now, that's really, really interesting and also somewhat completely out of my field. But when you look at this, this is for people who have really failed all sort of attempts at high blood pressure control. And the challenge there is, what are we going to do to help them? If they've been adherent or compliant with their existing medicines, then it becomes, wow, what can we do to do this? And if you look at, there's actually a couple of good articles on that. If you look at the key components from, the American Heart Association meeting, what you'll see is a picture of a kidney, and this is actually a nerve zap is the way it came out. And so what you look at this, it's radio waves to actually ablate or zap nerves near the kidneys. And the kidneys, a lot of us may not be aware of that, but the kidneys actually fuel a lot of high blood pressure. And so I think the reasonable analogy is that it's kind of like an angioplasty for clogged arteries. And this was a study of about 100 people, and they got a drop of about 33 points in blood pressure, which is really, really interesting for people who have failed other therapies.
So could this treatment ultimately, this is another case of more study will be needed, but does this treatment compare, how does it compare with prescription drug treatment for high blood pressure?
Well, so, and if you look at that, you can get larger and more interesting and probably, well, certainly less involved treatment outcomes. If you look at a blood pressure, depending on how high you are, of about 180, and you take 30% of that, and you get it with this, you can find that's a comparable result, which is interesting. And it's also a durable one. And in that sense, in the patient who's failed a lot of other medicines, depending on the combination that you've used, that is a really remarkable result and maybe a permanent solution.
Yeah, so one zap, so to speak, could this be a cure for hypertension?
You know, I always hesitate to say the C word.
Yeah.
Potentially, depending on the mechanism, because if you look at this, because if you look at the different classes of medications, there's a reason that there are water pills and there are angiotensin inhibitors, there are angiotensin-converting enzyme inhibitors, because there are different pathways for this. There are beta blockers that actually block that fight or flight experience that we all can have. And so it depends on the cause of the hypertension, frankly. But I think it's a very, very interesting step. And it, in the sense of a durable response, again, a lot more research is needed, but interesting, interesting science.
James Rybacki is a doctor of pharmacology and the author of The Essential Guide to Prescription Drugs. He's also the editor of the website, EssentialGuideToPrescriptionDrugs.com. I spoke with him about last week's meeting of the American Heart Association in Chicago.